welcome back to What the Flight Radio, a podcast for in-flight crew, frequent flyers, and anyone that gives a about aviation and travel. Happy What the Flight Wednesdays, fam. If you're new here, welcome aboard. My name is Jess, and on this podcast, we talk about flight attendant life, solo travel, festival culture, and basically all the topics that bridge the gap between my hobbies and career. So many of these topics all have the common theme of flying, travel, and aviation. So welcome. If this is your first episode that you're checking out, I'm so happy to have you here. And thank you to everyone that is tuning in right now. Thanks for being here with me and supporting this podcast. If you haven't already, please consider following the podcast on the streaming platform of your choice. Please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and make sure that you subscribe on the What the Flight YouTube channel, because I'm going to be giving a giveaway once I reach 100 subscribers on there. So make sure you go and sub, and I'll be doing a giveaway. So that'll be really exciting. As a reminder, this podcast is brought to you in part by my brand, Living by the F Word. If you're into flying, festivals, fashion, food, fitness, fine art, and you live your life with a fulfill-it-yourself mentality, then you are an F Word lover, and you are, in fact, living by the F Word with me. So please follow me on all my social platforms. You can follow me on the podcast at WT Flight Radio and or at Living by the F Word. I will link all my socials in the show notes so you can find me. I would love to be your friend and connect with you. This week, well, we had a reroute in the flight plans again. So many irregular ops occurring apparently on and off the aircraft because of summer flying. And so, yeah, basically I just keep kind of planning out content, and then I feel like this new idea pops in my head and I feel really called to talk about that topic instead. And I really wanted to talk about it in the moment that I'm kind of feeling like talking about it. So that's kind of what happened last week, and now that's kind of what's happening this week as well. So this week we're going to be talking about how to avoid burnout, how to recover from jet lag, and just in general, how to practice some self-care routines after returning from a travel trip. This was not originally planned. Like I said, I felt really called to talk about it because, well, I'm tired. And I feel like I've just been nonstop and not really taking time for myself. So, like I said last week, I'm trying to get in the flow with working, my personal life, and I honestly feel like I've been struggling to find the time to properly prepare episodes and record them in advance. I'm actually recording this on Wednesday and going to drop it on the same day. So that tells you that I'm running a little behind. I'm a little delayed, obviously. But, you know, I'm definitely feeling some of the phases of burnout and just craving, wanting to do nothing, if I'm being honest with you, which is why I decided to talk about this topic. I think it's really important for people to hear, especially as adults with this pandemic starting to phase out and our schedules and lives are starting to get back to what they were, but it's not really gradual. It's almost more rapid. I don't know if anyone else is feeling that way, but I just feel like everything's super fast paced again. You know, the more that we normalize things again and, you know, the planes are packed and people are traveling for pleasure and for, you know, bachelorette parties and business, and things are just picking up and everything is just kind of like came back with a snap. And so, yeah, I just thought it would be really important to discuss it in case anyone else is feeling the same way. So we will get into that topic in just a few minutes, but first I want to get into our aviation lingo for the week. All right. This week's aviation lingo is crash pad. So this seems fitting for this week's episode since I want to just crash right now. But basically, a crash pad is a shared living space that flight attendants and pilots sleep at in between their trips. So usually people will have a crash pad if they don't live in the base that they are flying out of. So they have a crash pad just in case they can't fly home after a work trip, or if they have to fly in ahead of time before a work trip, or say they have little time in between their work trips. Say they don't live where they're based, and so they want to back all their trips up back to back. We call it piggybacking, but basically they have a crash pad so they have somewhere to go and rest. And crash pads range from different apartments or homes, and they usually have shared rooms similar to college dormitories or hostel like accommodations where you'll see bunk beds and a shared living area and kitchen. There are some crash pads that also do have single rooms, which are usually more expensive. And also some crash pads have what's called hot beds or cold beds. So a hot bed is a bed that anyone can use and it's not reserved or paid for by a specific person. And a cold bed is a bed that only you yourself can use. So basically it's a bed that you are essentially paying rent for each month. When I lived out in Denver, I had a crash pad, an amazing crash pad. I honestly would not even consider it a crash pad because it felt more like an apartment living. So I lived with this amazing lady, Diane. She was a line holder for a regional airline. And her other roommate, who was actually my roommate in the crash pad, was also a line holder for that same regional airline. And I remember I came in, I work for a mainline airline, and I came in all like flustered because I could not believe that I wasn't going to be based where I had lived my whole life. And especially like, because where I'm based currently is where I live and it's such a major base and everyone's like, oh, don't worry, you'll get that base. But that base was not an option and I had to move across the country and get a crash pad and I was like totally bugging out. But this lady, Diane, took me in and it basically, in my opinion, was not really a crash pad because it was her condo. And so she lived in the main master room with a master bath attached to it. And then myself and the other lady that was another line holder, we shared rooms that were not bunk beds. They were two twin beds in the guest room, and then we shared the main bath. But there was laundry right in within her condo. It's like not like I had to go anywhere to do laundry, and it was right next to the airport, so it was like very convenient. And I would say the only inconvenience was the fact that it was on the second floor, and I would have to lug my luggage upstairs. But for the most part, $250 a month. And basically I had the apartment to myself, the condo to myself the entire time, which for a crash pad is amazing. There's some crash pads in larger cities. For example, I would say like Dallas and maybe San Francisco that can have up to 20 to 30 people in a crash pad. So it could absolutely get so insane because everyone has different schedules and some people are on reserve and some people aren't. And so with certain crash pads, you'll see restrictions like line holders only or reserves only or pilots only or females only, things like that. Very similar to hostel type living. And I really want to actually talk about hostels and stuff on this podcast as well, because I'm very experienced with that. So I personally had a great crash pad experience when I did live in a crash pad. Like I said, even when I left, I was like, I'll be completely honest with you. I think you need to raise the rent. It is just, this is like too good to be true for a crash pad. So I was really lucky and I ended up only being there for 1 month because after I shipped my car out there, thought I was going to be out there, moved all my clothes, literally moved everything out there. I got my transfer back to where I'm currently based and have been based basically my entire career. So very interesting. Would love to hear about your crash pad experiences, though, if you want to let me know. Maybe I could have someone on the show that actually runs a crash pad and maybe the pros and cons of that business, because that is like a whole separate business within the airline industry within itself. So that might be really cool to have someone on here. But I hope you guys are loving this segment. I really hope you are enjoying the aviation lingo segment, because I know for me, when I came into the industry, I was completely clueless. And so I hope it's helpful to any of the listeners out there that are pursuing a career in aviation, or for any of my listeners that are not within the aviation industry and are just really curious about this lifestyle. I do get a lot of questions from my friends. So I hope this segment has been really awesome for you. All right. It's Wheels Up Time. Let's take flight into this episode. All right, you guys, welcome to the episode. This week, we're going to be talking about burnout and how to avoid it and recover from jet lag. And I wanted to talk about this because I honestly kind of feel a little burnt out. I just have so much going on, and so much so that it was kind of like pulling teeth to get this episode out. Like, I can't even believe I'm recording this on the day that it's released. Normally it would have already been released by now. So it's definitely going to be up later today on Wednesday, which is just crazy to even think about. But yeah, I was flying a very productive 4-day trip, and the last day, of course, always on the last day, it's always on go home day, but actually the first leg of the trip was delayed as well. But anyway, the last day, I had a really long day to begin with. It was blocked at almost 13-hour duty day just from the check-in, and then the final turn was delayed. And of course, it was a back-to-base turn, which means I came back to my base and then had to wait to fly another turn. So I could have gone home. And then, of course, that turn was delayed and I basically didn't get home till 9 p.m. So I woke up at 4:30 p.m., didn't get home till 9 p.m. It was absolutely insane. It was just one of those days, very, very tired. And the trip in general, I feel like I was dealing with a lot of things in addition to the delays, because I was the lead flight attendant. And I just feel like you always have way more responsibilities when you're the lead flight attendant and you're in that role, because you are answering a lot of questions for people. And whenever there's delays, people have questions. And I just feel like there's a lot of responsibility and weight on your shoulders when you're flying that position. So yeah, it was just kind of a hectic trip. I don't know what was going on with gum, but gum was an issue on this trip. Not on one flight, not on two flights, but also on my layover. So I had people get gum on them. I had one lady that was traveling with like four kids from Switzerland, and this was like her final leg, have sit in gum. She sat in gum. Then I had another guy come on that got gum on his wristwatch. I don't know what was going on this aircraft before we got this aircraft, but what the heck? I just have to say this. If you are one of those people that is disposing of your gum just anywhere, you have zero respect for people and their belongings, and you quite frankly are an asshole. I'm just gonna say that. What the fuck is wrong with people? Seriously, I don't know. It was completely mortifying though. I had to clean gum nonetheless during a pandemic. Hello, COVID is still going on, so people's saliva is on gum, and of course I wore gloves, but you get what I'm saying. Then on my Miami layover with my brand new Havanas, have never worn them out, decided to bring them on a layover. Soon as I stepped foot in South Beach, stepped in gum. So I don't know what was going on. I really don't know what was going on, you guys, but unless you're at the Seattle gum wall, which is absolutely disgusting, that is the only place that is acceptable for you to stick your gum anywhere. Thank you for coming to my TED talk. Also, very random as well, 6'9 was on my flight, that delayed flight I was talking about. I don't even know his music, but I know him because of how famous he is, because of everything he's wanted for. He's pretty much wanted, I think, dead by some people. So anyway, he was on my flight. I could tell it was him. He had a ski mask on to cover all his face tattoos, but anyway, I could still tell it was him. But kind of cool. He was super chill. I'll just say that. Like most celebrities, I feel like just want to lay low and they just don't even talk. They don't eat. They don't drink. They like really like mask and sunglass up and just kind of like don't want to be bothered. But it's just funny because the first thing that comes up on Google is what happened to him. And I was like, well, he's actually on my flight. That's what happened to him. Oh man. So many strange things on this trip, but the working aspect of it. Anyway, I kind of went off on a tangent there. Oh, how usual of me. That's totally what I do. Anyway, I got home Saturday, and then Sunday I edited a YouTube video and my YouTube thumbnail. And I prioritized that project just because it's basically been a month since I posted on YouTube, and it was just really starting to really bother me that I had not posted in a month, because I love YouTube. I love watching YouTube. I love creating for YouTube. And yeah, I just really wanted to get a new YouTube video out. So I did that and I thought, you know what, no big deal. Monday, I will figure out the podcast. I will record this week's podcast and following weeks and get ahead and, you know, get ahead with what's going on with the podcast. And around 11 a.m., I don't know what it was, it like hit me like a ton of bricks. I just felt so tired. I was just exhausted. And obviously after dealing with everything I just talked about, you know, I just ended up falling asleep. I fell asleep from noon until almost 4 p.m. on Monday. And even now, I feel okay now, but yesterday, as I was preparing for this podcast, I was feeling exhausted and just felt like I wanted to nap again. And so I kind of was just chilling. And I think I'm just tired from all the flying that I've been doing in the past 10 days. And I had 2 days off in between, but I was working on content for last week's podcast in between. And I just don't think I'm used to flying yet. I had a really bad headache even on my 4-day a couple weeks ago in the beginning of the month. Really bad headache. And so basically I've been flying productive trips. I've not been resting on my layovers. I've been vlogging the layovers. So go subscribe to Living by the F Word. I'm going to be doing a new series over there about vlogging my flight attendant layovers that I'm really excited about. But I've basically been going out on the layovers. When I get home, I've been spending time with my family, spending time with my puppy, of course, who is like so high energy. Anyone that's met her knows she is super high energy. And yeah, then I've been filming and editing YouTube videos, podcasts. I'm just busy, 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 busy. It's nonstop. And I feel like I'm having a hard time trying to catch up on content. So that's why I wanted to talk about burnout. So what is burnout? In case you are unfamiliar with the term, burnout is it's a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress. It occurs when you feel overwhelmed, emotionally drained, and unable to meet constant demands. Emotional signs of burnout are detachment, loss of motivation, negative outlooks on life, decreased satisfaction or sense of accomplishment, feeling defeated, self-doubt, you become easily upset or angry, and you're unable to concentrate. Now, I will say this. When I say I feel burnout, I don't feel this type of burnout right now. I am feeling really good. Like I said last week, I'm feeling really good about going back to flying. I'm happy my job is back. I've been enjoying my layovers. My crews have been awesome. I am kind of struggling with the work-life balance of doing all this content creation on my time off. I feel like I have 3 full-time jobs. I mean, obviously, like I'm doing a podcast, my YouTube channel, I'm flying for a living, I'm traveling for a living, and I have a puppy. I mean, hello. If you're watching on YouTube, you saw my face. Hello. It's a lot. There's a lot going on. So I don't really feel so much like of this regular emotional burnout that I just discussed, but sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. Right now, I feel more of like a travel burnout, which is why I wanted to talk about it. So a travel burnout is caused by traveling too long and becoming exhausted with life on the road. Typically, when you think of travel, you think of all the amazing things that you get with travel, right? You have life-changing experiences. You have inspiration. You are traveling and trying new foods and meeting new people and having this great social life, you know? All the good things, right, that come with travel. Of course, I'm feeling that. But when you have travel burnout, it can result if you're traveling too much or you're extending yourself too much when traveling, which is kind of what I think has been happening because I've been really taking advantage of my layovers and really going out and enjoying. Like I was in Miami this last layover and I was with this amazing crew. We went out, you know, the night we got in and we did karaoke and, you know, we didn't get back till like 3 a.m. And then the next day we went to South Beach and then to the Wynwood Walls and we like were just doing it up, you know, we were doing it up proper in Miami. And so, yeah, I just think that, you know, you can get travel burnout if you are just overextending yourself. And that's kind of what's happening right now. So Travel and Leisure, they had a blog post about 15 signs you may have if you are experiencing travel burnout. And there's actually a lot of travel blogs that talk about travel burnout. And so, like I said, I don't really personally feel the emotional burnout right now. I just feel kind of tired and I feel like I have one thing after another. And even within the last week, like, let me just tell you about this trip, what happened. So we had a massive storm here in New Jersey. Absolutely massive storm, and we lost power. There was down trees everywhere, and I basically lost power right before my 4-day work trip, and so all my laundry was in the wash. I didn't have power to dry my clothes. My podcast for the YouTube channel was exporting, and because I have a huge external hard drive, it was plugged into power, and it basically like stopped exporting because I lost power and it got all messed up. And so that came up late last week. And then I basically was up until 11 p.m. waiting for the power to come back on, and it never came back on. So then I was getting ready for my trip at 4:30 in the morning because I had to wake up earlier because I thought, okay, well, now I could wake up earlier to pack for my work trip. And the power never came back on. So I was getting ready in the dark and I started driving to work and I realized I didn't have my crew badge on, which I have never done in my life, ever. It was so stressful. I couldn't even believe I did that. I had to turn back around, get my crew badge. It was just absolutely so hectic. I just felt like it was ridiculously hectic. And then by the time I got to the airport, my first flight was delayed because some weather equipment was damaged where we were flying to. And so they had like a live meteorologist on the ground in order for flights to land. So flights were diverting to that airport, and my company didn't want to dispatch us because they didn't want us to get in the same position of, you know, being diverted somewhere. And so diverted, by the way, is when you fly not to the destination you're supposed to. You basically divert to another airport because you lose fuel or you have weather or something like that. So yeah, it was just, I just feel like it was just crazy along with all the extra stuff I already mentioned earlier. And so these are some tips to help you prevent burnout, okay? And this is kind of what I did yesterday. Instead of recording this podcast, I like just really wasn't like feeling recording the podcast. I just was like, I kind of need to take care of me, you know what I mean? So here is what you could do. Number one, you could exercise. So this is something I'm really happy I've been getting back into. I have been running with my puppy in the morning. So usually wake up, run with her, take her on a walk in an early morning, and then I even do an afternoon walk with her usually. But the morning run with her has been awesome because it kind of poops her out and it kind of gets me going. So that's been something new and fun. I've also been taking advantage of the gyms on the layovers. So really been doing good with that, and I've been lifting weights at home. So still saving on the gym membership. I do kind of want to sign up to get back on the treadmill and stuff at the gym, but for now, gradually getting back into exercise, and it's been definitely helping. Another thing you could do is actually just sleep and nap. So that's what I did on Monday. I took a nap. I listened to my body. I've talked about on my YouTube channel harm reduction for festival goers. And I'm not just talking about harm reduction when it comes to, you know, psychedelics and things like that, that many festival goers deal with. I'm talking about even like simple things like sunscreen and listening to your body. And one thing that I have learned with this career as a flight attendant and as a festival goer is to just listen to your body, sleep when you need to, rest when you need to, and don't push yourself. And so I have kind of become a real pro at that. And so I did take a nap on Monday and I feel so much better. Another thing you could do to prevent burnout is mindfulness or meditation, stretching, those types of mindfulness exercises where you focus on your breathing, where you are doing yoga or stretches. Even if you're just doing it for 3 to 10 minutes, it could really, really help. You could try a relaxing activity. So you can maybe go to a cafe to read a book if you want to just get out of your environment. If you feel like you're going to fall asleep, maybe you can go to a Starbucks or some type of local cafe in your area and sit outside, read a book, go to a park, read a book. You could also seek guidance. So this is something I find very helpful. I work with coaches, not a lot, but I am currently working with a coach. Shout out Emma. Hey, Emma, hope you're listening. But she actually is the one that really helped me get this podcast off the ground, you guys. This has been an idea for so long, and she helped me just kind of get my ducks in a row and do little steps to get here. So anyway, seeking guidance is really something that helps, because even if it's just your family member or even a coworker, talking to them can really, really help. And lastly, make self-care a priority. So whatever self-care for you, for some people, self-care might be exercising. For some other people, it might be decluttering your space. So I actually just decluttered my room and cleaned my room and did laundry yesterday as well. That was something else I felt like I had to prioritize, because I feel like I have so much stuff coming up. I'm going to a show in LA on Saturday. I'm getting my dog fixed tomorrow. I need to pack. Then I have a 4-day trip after that. I just feel like it's nonstop and creating content in between. So I really feel much better when I declutter my space and clean my room. It's something that personally makes me feel better. So I did that. Another form of self-care for me is journaling, tarot cards. I've talked about this stuff before a lot on my YouTube channel. I think I've even probably talked about it on my podcast here, but yeah, just do what makes you feel good and don't force yourself, especially if you're a creator. I really find it important to not force content. So yeah, this podcast should have been out already. I'm still going to have it out on Wednesday. I'm still getting it done. It's just maybe not done when I wanted it to be, but I didn't force it yesterday because I felt like just resting and cleaning my space would make me feel better, and it did. And then I also went over to my friend Kim's house because she's due. This is my longtime friend from high school. She's due in 2 weeks to have her first baby. So really exciting. I haven't seen her, wanted to catch up with her. And you know, I just, that's another form of self-care is being with your friends, being with your family, right? Which I really have been slacking on. I think I've been talking to my Pledge sisters about meeting up with them for months, and I literally need to like block out time. Like I have off at the end of the month because my family is going on vacation, and I really hope to like meet up with some of my Pledge sisters and just any friends that I really have distanced myself from because I've been creating content so much. You know what I mean? So those are some ways you could prevent burnout. I hope those are some helpful tips for you. Let's move on to jet lag. Jet lag usually occurs on an international plane when you're on a flight that usually travels across 3 time zones or more, but you can get jet lag if it's 3 time zones, which within the United States, there are actually 4 time zones. And so I usually fly domestically for this reason because I feel like it's easier to adapt than international flying. But jet lag typically throws your body's internal clock off because it's not used to the day and night cycle of the destination that you're at or your home destination once you return home. So here are some jet lag symptoms: headache, fatigue, daytime drowsiness, insomnia, difficulty concentrating or having impaired mental performance, mood swings, and appetite changes like not wanting to eat. So I had said earlier, I had a huge headache on my last 4-day trip. I mean, I could not get rid of it. You guys, I was chugging water on this plane. It was a really long day. It was one of those, you know, 14-hour days that got delayed, got even longer than it was. And I was chugging water. I took a leave because I couldn't find my Excedrin, and I could not knock this headache. And I swear, I was saying to the other girl I was working with, I swear, I think it was because I'm just not used to flying. We went from being furloughed. Well, I went from being furloughed and having a lot of time off and not flying on that time off to just right back into it. Just flying. And I seriously think that that headache was like a jet lag type headache from flying 3 legs that day and just being tired. You know what I mean? So I definitely believe that jet lag can happen even if you're flying domestically. It doesn't always necessarily have to be internationally. So here are some tips to recover from jet lag. Stay hydrated. Adapt quickly to the time zone you are in, which is really hard to do when you're a flight attendant. I will say that. Manage your sleep. Get outside. Get out in the daylight. Create a comfortable space for you to recover in, which is what I did yesterday. Yesterday, I decluttered and cleaned my room. It was absolute disaster, and I just wanted to feel, you know, warm and cozy, and so that's what I did. You also can use melatonin or some other type of medication if you need help sleeping. I don't really use melatonin. I don't really try to ever use melatonin or any type of medication to fall asleep. Like I said, I just try to listen to my body and try to recover naturally, but staying hydrated is huge. I've talked about that before as far as bringing your own water bottle on the plane, refilling it in the airports. I try to drink a lot of water because when you're at different altitudes, it's so important to stay hydrated and keep your skin hydrated, even with lotion and chapstick, all that. Adapting quickly to your time zone can be really tricky, especially international flying. It's like you basically are going ahead in time for the most part, and yeah, it's very hard to adapt. But basically, if you could take like little power naps and get yourself out instead of just knocking out for 8 hours when you first get there, it'll probably be better for you. That's usually what I do when I'm working an international trip. I will get in. It'll pretty much be the middle of the morning there. But for me, it'll be like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I will try to nap for a few hours and then force myself to get up, which is why I really don't like international flying for work, because it's so wacky, you guys. It's wacky. We get crew rest, but it doesn't even matter to me. It's still kind of wacky. So those are just some tips for recovering from jet lag. And this was kind of like a little mini episode that I just kind of wanted to remind you to take care of yourself, you guys. Take care of yourself. Listen to your body. I feel like life suddenly starting to go back to quote unquote normal is just kind of happening so rapidly. Like I said, after this pandemic, it was just like rapid speeds of going back to normal lifestyle. And maybe because we're overextending ourselves and our bodies, we're just not used to it. At least mine is not. And so I wanted to discuss it a little bit, hoping that it might help you to get back into a healthy routine, helping you identify some of these symptoms so that you can give yourself a little bit more self-care. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I will be back with aviation news. All right, you guys, I am back for aviation news. Hope you are enjoying this segment as well. If you want me to switch this segment up, please let me know. Feel free to DM me at WT Flight Radio or email me at radio@livingbythefword.com. If you want a new segment like crew to crew shoutouts, please let me know. I can definitely do that, or I can add that in. I really don't know unless you guys give me feedback, so I'm just keep rolling with these segments that I have currently. So first up for aviation news this week, we have passenger on Delta Airlines spits in other passenger's face and refuses to wear a mask. What a shocker. Everyone just is doing whatever the fuck they want and literally does not care about this quote unquote federal law going on to wear a mask. Listen, no one wants to wear a mask. Your crew doesn't want to wear a mask. No one wants to wear a mask anymore. But if we are in closed spaces and not everyone is vaccinated, that's kind of what we have to do for now. And trust me, I cannot wait for the mask mandate to end, okay? I'm vaccinated. I believe in science. I'm one of the people that believes that masks do help. So it's not even like that. I personally cannot wait for the mask mandate to end, because I feel like I'm the mask police. It is so annoying. You can't even imagine what it's like to tell grown adults to keep their mask on if they're not eating or drinking. I mean, really, it is absolutely ridiculous. I cannot wait for it to end. So trust me, as a working crew member, I want this mask mandate to end. But for now, we got to do what we got to do. COVID is still a problem. People still die from COVID. Until we all want to get on the same page as a human race and help each other, it's still there and in effect. You know what I'm saying? So it's just crazy to me. Like I said, dealing with the gum issue this week, gum, touching someone else's gum during COVID. Ugh, disgusting. Now someone's spitting in someone's face. It was like that during the Black Lives Matter protests too. I was seeing people spit in protesters' face during COVID. Like, are you kidding me right now? Anyway, some of my personal feelings are coming out, and I try to keep it neutral on here because, listen, I know that I have listeners from all walks of life, and I know that I have people that don't agree with my opinion, and I still want you to be one of my listeners. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want everyone to feel welcome here. I don't want there ever to be personal opinions involved that make someone not want to listen to this podcast. You know what I mean? And I know that's going to be really difficult with this topic. Anything with COVID is going to be very super sensitive. So anyway, let's move on to the next one. The next aviation news that I have is United and Mesa Airlines partner with Heart Aerospace, a Swedish startup company making electric regional airplanes. Both airlines plan to acquire the ES-19 electric aircraft set to take flight in 2026. My grandpa brought up electric aircraft to me a while back. I had no idea what he was talking about. Here you go, Grandpa. I know my grandpa's listening. I know he's watching. Here you go, Grandpa. The ES-19 electric aircraft. Look it up. What's really interesting about this is United, I think, is just smashing it lately. All of their news about buying all this aircraft, the supersonic aircraft, now the electric aircraft, they're also talking about being completely sustainable fuel by 2050. So in between 2026 and 2050, United just has made it evident where they are going in the future. And the future of aviation is like looking really good for them, in my opinion. So I think that's really cool. Up next, we have Lufthansa will no longer address you as, quote unquote, ladies and gentlemen, doing away with the traditional onboard salutation, which can be considered as a gender sensitive step in which gender binary is questioned. You guys, I had to throw this in here because this is something I really need to work on. I was a lead flight attendant. I'm basically the lead flight attendant this entire month for my company, which is basically where you make all the announcements and you deal with any issues you may have. And it's basically when things go good, it's very easy. When things don't go good, it's a pain in the ass. I'll put it to you that way. So I am the lead flight attendant and I've been making my announcements saying, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't think I'm supposed to because I'm pretty sure my company did away with this, just like Lufthansa is doing away with this. I'm pretty sure that my company also has done away with the gender sensitive lingo, if you will, which has been what the announcements were for years and years and years. But I don't know what it is. Like, I just feel like since I started my job like that, I have it engraved in my brain and I really need to get it out, like out of my brain. Like, I know that it's bad, especially for, you know, transgender people that maybe are identifying as something else. And it's just very, I guess in today's society frowned upon saying ladies and gentlemen, cause it's just, we're not in that era anymore. So I just wanted to bring that up because I think we're going to start seeing a lot more airlines do away with this. And I just wanted to bring it up because I know that it's something I personally need to work on, just to support people that, you know, are gender transitioning and things like that. You know, I definitely am a very supportive person when it comes to being yourself. And so, yeah, I wanted to have this in here because I realized when I read that, I was like, oh my God, I was saying that like my entire last trip, I was announcing that like with all the delays, like that's how I was addressing people. I just feel like, cause it's like the formal way that I'm used to. All right, up next I have Delta Airlines bargain buys 29 737-900ERs and 7 Airbus A350s, which is a wide-body aircraft, as demand for air travel continues in addition to the fleet expansion of the Airbus A321neo or Neo. I don't know if it's A321neo or A321, but basically a lot of people have been buying that aircraft. United bought that aircraft. Delta's buying that aircraft. Spirit bought that aircraft. Probably American. I have no idea. There's a lot of airlines that are buying that aircraft. So yeah, flying is back, you guys, and it's coming back like big. And I know I keep saying that and it sounds repetitive, but like, I mean, really, we went from furloughing and having to, you know, offer buyouts. All these major mainline airlines had to offer buyouts, and then even some smaller regional airlines completely closed and shut down. And now it's going back to the complete opposite where they're going to have to be hiring and they're buying all this aircraft, which means they need more pilots, which means they need more flight attendants to staff, you know, just absolutely insane. So I just wanted to throw that in there because airlines are buying aircraft and flying is back, baby. All right. So up next I have Boeing discloses new issue with 787 Dreamliner wide body jet, which states the plane's fuselage was not joined together to meet precise standards. And there are questions about the verification process to make sure that they meet the standards. Boeing is working with 787 planes that are already in service along with the FAA. And they state that they do not need to be grounded. If you saw my face on YouTube, then you know I just made a face like, what? So there's a problem, but they don't need to be grounded. I don't know. I get like kind of bugged out about all this. I've flown on the 73 MAX this month, and you can't help but think what happened with those aircraft and with them being grounded. So now this just, I saw this in a news headline. A lot of my news I get from Twitter, by the way, guys. I follow only on my WT Flight Radio, I follow only aviation and hotel and travel leisure accounts. Same with my WT Flight Radio Instagram. If you go and see who I'm following, it's basically only airlines and flight stuff so that I can like stay up to date with everything. And that's where I'm pulling this from. And so when I saw that on Twitter, I was like, what? Because you know what? I love Boeing planes. Boeing is a great company and they're a great aircraft, okay? But it just seems like they can't catch a break is why I wanted to throw this one in here. And lastly, I have the Points guy posted an article and it gave me a little bit of a chuckle about summer suitcase shortages. So just when toilet paper gets restocked in the United States can actually be facing a suitcase shortage. And there was like a picture of one suitcase in the suitcase aisle. So like I said, travel is back. I wanted to leave it on that one because I think that is a good one to leave off on because I'm just excited that things are happening. Things are opening up again. It's good. It's good. It's not perfect yet, but it's getting there. All right. I will be right back. Well, you guys, that wraps up today's episode. Episode 8 already. So hard to believe. I have some cool episodes lined up for the future. So don't forget, if you haven't already, to follow me on the platform of your choice. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other platforms. You can find it through the anchor.fm app as well. And you could also visit my blog, livingbythefword.com, go under flying and what the flight radio, and you can basically stream from wherever you want. I'm also on YouTube, of course. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Once I reach 100 subscribers on the What the Flight Radio YouTube channel, I will be doing a giveaway, which will be really awesome. And yeah, thanks so much for listening. I will see you in next week's episode. Be safe. Happy travels. I will see you in next week's episode. Bye.